San Francisco burned for days after a massive earthquake hit 100 years ago this week. At the time, much of the rest of the nation followed the disaster through newspapers. It wasn't long, though, before a group of actors and musicians gathered in a New York City studio to record this.
It's an earthquake! Run for your lives! To the park! To the park!
NPR's Laura Seidel reports that before radio, reenactments allowed people to hear the news.
Jeffrey Weissman is looking through large boxes that contain hundreds of his prized possessions, wax cylinders from the late 1800s and early 20th century.
How many boxes do you have of these things?
Oh, about nine.
Wow.
Weissman is searching for one of the most prized and rare of these cylinders, a dramatization of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. He finds it and cues up the cylinder on his antique spring phonograph, a wood box with a big horn, the turn-of-the-century equivalent of a speaker. The cylinder itself is shaped like a long tin can with grooves.
It takes it from the earthquake and the panic of the people and the moving to the parks, the fires, there being no water, so the dynamiting of the buildings.
Turn on the water! No water! The means are busted! Then dynamite the buildings, men!
The militia coming out and shooting any man that seems to be plundering, and then the burying of the dead.
All of this happens in just 2 minutes. Weissman, an actor by trade who recreates historical characters, uses old wax cylinders of comedy and drama as part of his research. These dramatizations of real events were once very popular. In 1906, it was possible to get a phonograph for $7.50, and wax cylinders sold for 35 cents. So many people owned a phonograph. While the public could read the news, these reenactments of current events gave people something more, says Patrick Feaster, an assistant instructor at Indiana University in the Department of Folklore and Ethnomusicology.
It gave people a chance to experience listening to the sounds of the earthquake without actually having to live through it. I think that that's really what most intrigued people about this medium, was the chance to experience things in the auditory world that you couldn't really get in any other way, or might not really want to in this case.
Dramatic recreations were also used to help the public learn about political campaigns.
During elections of 1896-1900, all of the major recording companies recorded imitators doing the speeches of the presidential candidates, who were William McKinley and William Jennings Bryan both years.
Here's part of a cylinder simply called Major McKinley's Speech. The candidate takes on the value of American currency, an issue at the time because the country was coming out of a depression.
Our trouble is not with the character of the money that we have, but with the threat to the debate. We have the same currency that we had in 1892. Good the world over and unquestioned by any people.
They wouldn't just have the candidate either. They'd have the noise of enthusiastic audiences applauding and cheering. So these were really trying to give people the sense that they were eavesdropping on the real thing.
Actors and musicians performed into a large horn with a needle that recorded the sound onto the wax. The performers often had to contort their bodies in strange positions so that they could be picked up by the horn.
People who actually got to see these scenes being reenacted in studios would comment that if you just showed up and didn't know what was going on, you'd think you're in a room full of lunatics. You just have people rushing around, smashing things against each other.
It's an earthquake! Run for your lives! To the park! To the park!
The vast majority of cylinder recordings were made at either Edison's National Phonograph Company or Columbia Phonograph Company, both in the New York metropolitan area. Many of the reenactments reflected the attitudes and prejudices of the time.
If you don't believe that the American culture of 100 years ago was as racist as they say it is, listen to the sound recordings. It was.
Say, Tim, what's the matter with the orchestra? Sounds loose.
The orchestra's all right. You gonna work, nigger?
No, I'm gonna play.
What can you play?
Nothing, but I'm willing to try.
Well, try this saxophone.
Which end do you talk in?
You don't talk in it, Sam. You blow.
One of the actors in that skit was Len Spencer, the same man who was the voice in the recreation of the 1906 earthquake. Spencer made a living doing regional accents. As of 1912, both Edison and Columbia stopped making the wax cylinders and began using other materials. By the early teens, flat discs made of shellac became the dominant recording medium. But even before that, interest in dramatic recreations of real events like the 1906 earthquake began to wane. Feaster believes it's because phonograph makers began to market themselves as recorders of reality.
Well, if you're really thinking about the phonograph as something that just reproduces things, this older idea of illusion, of using it to make you hear things you're really not, starts to sound less like an art form and a little bit more like fraud.
Among the first dramatizations that went were the speeches of political candidates. After the turn of the century, the candidates distributed their own cylinders with actual recordings of their speeches. Actor and collector Jeffrey Weissman thinks those early cylinders were the forerunner of today's docudramas.
There's a movie being made about the hijackers on the 9/11 planes. People want to see them in the movies. They want to, I don't want to say relive these horrific events, but probably learn from them or not forget.
Certainly the 1906 earthquake is not an event that San Franciscans want to relive, but it is certainly one they will never forget. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
There are more remembrances of the 1906 earthquake, eyewitness accounts, photos, and a silent film of the disaster's aftermath at our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.